inside of your head in one hand, if you would put it on your heart. We do that before we begin. Father, in the book of Ephesians, we read Paul praying a prayer. We would have the power to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is your love for us. Father, today I believe that you will be turning lights on. I believe today that revelation of the greatness of your love is going to come, God, not only to understanding of our mind, but down in the depths of our heart to grasp your love and to be changed by it. I prophetically declare today is the day of revelation in this place. I prophetically declare Romans 5:5 that God will be pouring his love into our hearts in a way that we will grasp it, we will understand it, and we will be changed by it. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this building. I declare it to be holy ground, uninterrupted ground. Every design of the enemy, I bind up in Jesus' name. Every voice of the enemy, I silence now in Jesus' name. And I declare the truth. God's word will go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody expecting to receive said, amen. Amen. Did everybody get a sheet? Does everybody have a sheet? If you don't have a sheet, just raise your hand. Would you? Emily, could I just ask you to grab this? A few people that didn't get one there. Just raise your hand. You need a sheet. Everybody needs a pen. I'm going to write down a few things today. I want to tell you today, this week as God was laying all this out for me, I just went to him. I said to the kids this morning, that before I was leaving, I said, I understand a little bit about how John must have felt in the island of Patmos when God gave him a revelation and he tried to put it into English words, the concept of what he had seen and what he understood spiritually. I want to tell you, honestly, I am believing today that the Holy Spirit is going to give you revelation and understanding. You will see things today that with the mind of the flesh, with your logical mind, you will never grasp. And so today, as I prayed over your mind and prayed over your heart, I am believing today the Holy Spirit is going to speak and show you and give you revelation in a transforming way. I'm going to preach less today than I am going to teach. But I am going to show you a very imperfect picture as I do this. But today I'm going to be having you write, and I want you, as you write this down, I'll tell you straight up, in a short period of time that we're going to fill that sheet out, I want you to put those things down, and I want to encourage you this next week to take that sheet home and take time, go into your private study, and begin to ruminate, begin to look at the scriptures, begin to go over it, and allow the truth of what we're talking about this morning to take deeper root than it's going to today. I want to give you five foundational scriptures before we begin, and then we're just going to jump right into this. You don't need to look these up right now. I will look them up for you, but I need to read them to allow the Holy Spirit to get inside of you. You know this, John 15, beginning at verse 13, it says this, greater love has no man than this, than what? He laid down his life for his friends. I want you to think about this for a minute. The vast majority of people, when they teach on this verse, what they talk about is Jesus dying on the cross, laying down his life for us as those who would eventually be believers. That is the greatest love, laying down his life. What I want you to see today is that the greatest love is not laying down his life at the end, but laying down his life at the beginning. God is going to show you how Jesus laid down his life before the cross. We're going to talk about that. Would you turn with me? Don't turn with me. I'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 3. 14 to 19. I alluded to it earlier. It said, Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Here it is. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Let me just say this to you. The heart of the Father is that you and I would be able to grasp and know and experience the love of God in our life and be changed by it. I'm believing there is going to be a shift in every one of our lives today and this week as a result of what's going to happen this morning. I want to flip back to Ephesians chapter 1. Just listen to this, beginning of verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may, three things. Number one, you may know the hope to which he has called you. Number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And number three, his incomparably great power for us who believe. I want to declare that over you today. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Number one, to know the hope to which he has called you. Number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance. And number three, his incomparably great power in us who believe. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I want to begin at verse 5. It says this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. One last one, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Let me read that one more time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I want to show you where I'm going before I begin. This morning I want to begin by showing you, and you'll have on your sheet, I want you to see, when it talks about Jesus being rich, I want you to see the richness of Christ through the Word of God. I want you to see what made him rich. The second thing is, I want to show you this morning how apart from Christ, we and every other person out there is absolutely poor. Then I want to show you when Jesus emptied himself of what made him rich, and as a result of emptying, he became poor, and how our poverty landed on him to make him poor, and as a result of that, we then are able to receive Christ's richness. That is where we're going. Grab your sheet and try and keep up. What is it that made Christ rich? I want to give you seven things, and there's probably a bunch more, but I want to give you seven things that we're going to focus on this morning. I would just like you to write down the key words. What made Christ rich? He was a spirit being. The Bible says that God is spirit. And I want you to think about Jesus being God in spirit. What made him rich? He had no limitation in time. He had no limitation in space. He was everywhere present from the beginning of time until the end of time. Jesus, being in spirit, made him rich. We'll talk about that in a bit. Would you write down number two? Perfect oneness.
who are absolutely in poverty spiritually. You can be the wealthiest of person, have no relationship with God, and you are absolutely poor. And let me flip it around the other way. You can be in a person in this world who doesn't have a huge amount of land, a huge amount of money, a huge amount of any of those things, and yet if you have relationship with Christ, in relationship with the Father, the Bible says you are spiritually rich. You are prosperous. Let me quote you the least quoted statement that Kenneth Copeland makes. Money is the lowest form of God's prosperity. Money is the lowest form of God's prosperity. The highest form of God's prosperity is relationship with Almighty God. That is the highest level. I want you to understand, Jesus in heaven, what kind of relationship did he have with the Father? They were one. He talked about it in John 17. The Father and I are one. There was no separation. They had perfect union. Everything they did in spirit was together. You could not have separated them. That made him rich. Would you write down number three? Would you write down absolute holiness? And just right on the bottom, glory of God. The Bible says that God, there is no darkness in him. There is no sin in him. There is nothing of the enemy in him. The Bible says he is absolute holy. There is holiness, the epitome of holiness. We know it in Revelation. The angels, they flew around the temple, and what did they say? Holy, holy, holy. Jesus was absolutely rich because there was holiness inside of him. The glory of God in the holiness filled him before he came to earth. Absolutely holy. Would you write down number four? Would you write down immortality? Life eternal. Let me ask you a question. Jesus, in spirit form, with absolute holiness, could he have ever died in heaven? Could have never died. There is no death in heaven. God, being immortal, will never die. If Jesus would have remained in heaven, he could have never died. Immortality made him rich. Look at number five. Divine provision. Let me ask you one question. How many needs did Jesus have in heaven? How many needs did he have that were unmet? Let me ask you, in heaven, was there any want? Was there any lack? Was there any of that in heaven? In heaven, the richness of God made it. There was zero lack, zero want, zero need. Everything that he needed for life was in him. He had divine provision. Would you write down number six? He had divine health. Could I ask you a question? Would Jesus ever gotten sick in heaven? Would he have ever got the flu? Would he have ever gotten COVID? Would he have ever gotten cancer? Is there any single thing under the curse that Jesus would have ever gotten in heaven? Let me tell you, there are wealthy people today who are trying to spend all the money they have to buy health. They cannot buy health. Wealthy people are dying sick. They're dying of the vaccine. They are dying of diseases and the curse. Wealthy people are dying. Does that make them rich? As a kid, I remember my dad, when we sat around the table, he goes, "If you are healthy, you are rich, son." A pile of wealthy people who are not rich. People pursuing money who are not rich. Why? They are dying from cancer, dying from diabetes, dying from all of those things. They are not rich. Let me tell you, Jesus was rich. Why? He had divine health. Would you write down number seven? He had divine power. Can I ask you a question you already know? When we open the Bible to Genesis 1, and God spoke and things came into being. Who was the voice speaking behind the words? Who is the voice? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? God the Son. The Bible tells was made through Jesus. Nothing was made that was not made through him. In the Bible, we read that Jesus opened up his mouth and he spoke and he said, "Let there be light." And when he said that, what happened? Power was released and light came. He said that to the stars, said that to the water, said that to the animals, said that to all of them. He spoke and power was released. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus function with God power in heaven? Absolutely. And did that make him rich? Made him absolutely, spiritually, divinely rich. He had power as God. Let's look at the other condition. We need to see our condition before Christ, what makes us poor. Would you write down underneath number one? Our spirit man is dead. Every person is born with their spirit man dead. Don't ever be deceived by the En-Gedi's angels. We are not born an angel. We are not born innocent. We are not born pure. We are not born holy. We are born sinful nature, separated from God. We are born with our spirit man dead, and that spirit man needs to come alive. We are poor. Why? Because this relationship, this man, is dead. Secondly, what's our relationship with the Father? Broken. Relationship with the Father. What makes a person poor? They don't know God. They don't have a Father. We could write down the term there is that every poor person without God is a spiritual orphan. They have no Father in heaven. Does that make you poor? Absolutely. What's our condition? Christ, in his holiness, we are what? Sinful by nature. Let me say this really clearly. We don't have to wait till little children grow up and do something wrong and we go, oh, all of a sudden they're now a sinner. No, it doesn't work that way. The poverty of our sinful nature is what separates us from God, is responsible for our spirit man being dead. When we have sinful sin in our life, and it is our nature, the Bible says we are spiritually poor. What is it again? Mortal. Every person who is born with sin in their life, and we are mortal, we will die. We are spiritually poor because we'll die. Let me make this statement. Adam and Eve, before they fell, would have never tasted death. The moment they fell, the Bible says, God said, you do this, you eat this, and you're going to die. Did they die physically in that moment? They died spiritually, and later they died physically. Every person who dies spiritually or physically is poor. Would you write down number five? Physical lack. Spiritual poverty. Us poor? If the spiritual riches that God has for us, we do not have them, we are spiritually poor. When it comes to the physical, there is physical lack in every person's life apart from God, physically and spiritually. Makes us poor. Would you write down underneath six, under six? What makes us poor? Apart from Christ, every person is under the curse. Under the curse. Just write down sickness and disease. The poverty in a person's life apart from God, when there is sickness and disease, curse in a person's life, we are described as being poor. Write down number seven. Would you put down flesh power? We function with is flesh power against the demonic power and against God's power. Flesh power makes us poor. There is a poverty you a question. If Jesus was God, was he equal with God? You can't be God without being equal to God. Jesus is not subservient to the Father. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he did what? I want you to understand, the greatest demonstration of love was to empty himself, was to lay down his life, not on the cross, before he came to earth. I want you to see what he emptied himself with. I was just saying, God, what is the best example? And I honestly don't have the best example. But I want to give you an earthly example. I want you to imagine for a moment if someone's bank account was huge. And as a result of something that happened to you, they went to the bank and they said, you know what? I'm going to empty that entire bank account out in order for that person to be saved or rescued. If you were held someplace and it said hostage, it's going to require everything you have. And you went to the bank account and you emptied your entire bank account. Can I just say this to you really clearly? Beware of scams today. Would you do that? There are people who are being scammed out of tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars every day. Even this past week, they will phone you. Let me tell you one quickly. They phone you and they tell you they're from Amazon. And within 20 seconds, they have your SIM card. They've duplicated it. They've cleaned out your bank accounts. They've got all of your transactions all there. It is absolute disaster. It's happening every day. The police have said it's been going on the cameras. We know someone last week who had it happen to them. You need wisdom. In this area, what I want you to understand is if somebody went to their bank and they cleaned out their entire bank account in order to rescue you and get you banked, we could just say, you know what? They emptied themselves out. Everything they had at home, they emptied it out in order to get you back. I want you to get a picture of Jesus laying down his life. And here's what it means that he emptied himself. All I want to do is give you a physical picture when I write this down. There is not a single amount of money that could ever describe what Jesus did. I want to tell you clearly, these are $100 bills. But I want you, just for a moment, to grasp that these are $1 million bills. If we could just grasp this, okay? Physically, this is so far short. If these were $1 million bills that made Christ rich in this area, I want you to see what he emptied himself. He went to his account and emptied it in order to do something for you and me. These are hundreds. Could you pretend they're spiritually millions? This is what it says. Jesus did not consider equality with God in his richness to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He went to his bank and he took out, I don't know how many million, he took it out, he put it in there and said, I'm going to empty myself out, and what am I going to do? First of all, emptying, I'm going to be free from only spirit being. What did Jesus do? He said, the moment I'm going to go down, I will no longer be simply a spirit being. I will be free from that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take on what? Humanity. I'm going to become a human being with all of the limitations. I'm going to empty myself of being spirit only. Then he went to his bank and he said, I'm going to make another withdrawal. He took it out. What did he empty himself from? The oneness with the Father. He goes, Dad, I'm going down. The relationship you and I have always known, it is going to no longer be the same. It's going to be different. I'm going to go to earth, and I am going to be separate from you, Father, in a way that we have never known since all of eternity. I'm going to empty myself of that relationship. What is number three? What did he empty himself from? The fullness of glory. Can I just give you a couple examples? You know that when God showed up on Mount Sinai, what was his command to the people? He said, Moses, don't you let anybody touch that mountain, because if they touch that mountain is holy. My presence is there. If they touch that mountain, what will happen? They will die. We know that when David was bringing the ark back in Uzziah, all of a sudden that wheel hit the rut and it went like this and the ark was coming off. Uzziah reached out to grab the ark. What happened to him? He died. died in that moment. Why? You cannot touch holiness and live. You cannot be in the presence of God and live. What did Jesus have to do? He had to empty himself of the complete, absolute holiness in order to come down and to be mad. Man, he came down to the bank and he said, God, I'm laying down my holiness. Would you write down number four? What did he empty himself of? Immortality. In his richness, he would have never died. In his richness, he'd have never tasted death. He'd have never tasted that separation. He went to the bank and he said, Father, I'm willing to lay down my immortality and become mortal. I will do that. What did he lay down? The absolute provision that he lived in. There was not a single need in his life. I want you to think about this. The moment he was placed inside of Mary, did he have need dependent upon Mary for life? I want you to think about that. He is the giver of life, and the moment he became human, he was absolutely dependent upon Mary, came out absolutely dependent upon everything she had to do in order for him to live. All you need to do is have a baby and find out how dependent they are. He laid down his divine provision in order for you and I to be saved. What else did he lay down? He laid down his divine health. He went to the bank and he goes, God, my health is a richness. I'm laying it down. I'm giving my health away, and I will no longer walk in divine health. And what did he empty himself of? Power. Can I have you think about this for a second? Here he is, and Jesus speaks, and all of creation happened. Jesus speaks, and universes are still made, and all of a sudden he goes, I'm going to empty myself to the point where I won't even be able to speak. How well does a baby speak? You have to understand, life and death is in the power of the tongue. He emptied himself so greatly that for a period of time, he could not speak at all. And for 30 years, he chose not to speak and release power. He was empty of that power. Can I just give you one example on earth where he did speak and there was power? I love this part. We talked about it at his crucifixion. Do you remember when they came to arrest him? Do you remember? He comes up and goes, who are you looking for? And they go, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, right? And he makes one statement. He says, I am he. I am he. What happened to them all? Boom! They all fell backwards on the ground. He didn't push them, didn't shove them. The disciples didn't stick them. He spoke, and a little bit of power went out, and they all laid on the ground. The time is going to come, it says, when Jesus comes back, and that sword is going to be in his mouth, and when he speaks, there's going to be thousands of people who die as a result of that. You want to talk about power? He emptied himself of that power, and as a result of that, the Bible says he became poor. I want you to see what happens here. This is his speech. Would you grasp this? And again, this is so far short. I want you to think that all of the richness, all that made Jesus rich, the Bible says he who is rich became poor. All of his richness, it says he emptied himself, took it out of himself, and he stuck it in a bowl and goes, this is now separated from me. His life. I thought about it this morning. God and I were just talking about this. He goes, Carl, the greatest gift, the greatest demonstration of my love underneath that tree, you open up a box and it's empty. All of Christ's richness is out of his life. He became empty for me. That's the greatest expression of love. Follow this. What made Jesus poor? As a human being, he had limitations. As a spiritual being, there was no limitation. He emptied himself of that absolute freedom. As a human being, he had total limitation. He could be in one place at one time. He could only do what he could do. He could only see what he could see. He was limited by time. As a human being, the Bible says Jesus became poor as a result of that. I want you to think about just for a second. On this side, I would like you to put cross, and at this side, I'd like you to put birth. I want you to see Jesus' poverty as a human being. Here it is here. There is physical separation from the Father here. And on the cross, there was spiritual separation. What was Jesus' famous words on the cross? Father, why have you what? Why have you forsaken me? You've got to understand, if Jesus would have never come, there would have never been a moment where he would have been separated from the Father. That oneness would have been there. As a human being, he was now physically separated. Why did Jesus say, I'm going back to my Father? Why did he say, I'm going back to my Father? Can I tell you why? Because he left there. He was down here, separated. He goes, I'm going back again. You've got to only go back to what you had. But on the cross, he experienced a spiritual separation from the Father. And can I just say this to you again? Jesus did not go to hell after he died on the cross and went to hell and suffered for 3 days. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches separation from God is hell. He experienced hell on the cross. He experienced the suffering on the cross. That is why he says at the end, he goes, Father, at the very end, he goes, Father, into your hands I commit what? He didn't go, Satan, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm coming down to you, and for 3 days you have your way with me. When he died, his spirit went to the Father. On the cross, the Father forsook him. He experienced hell on the cross. At the very end, he goes, we're not quite finished yet. Give me 3 more days and it's done. No, what did he say? It is what? Finished. Jesus' poverty, he was physically separated, and on the cross, he was spiritually separated. That was his poverty that he experienced for you and me. Would you write this down? Limited glory. Can you imagine for a moment if Jesus came down and his fullness of glory was with him when he came out of the womb? Do you know what would have happened? Joseph and Mary would have fried right there. The shepherds would have walked into the stable and they would have fried right there. The wise men would have found him and they would have fried right there. They would have stepped into his full glory and they would have fried. Why were they able to look at him? Because he emptied himself of his glory such that they could behold the face of God. But I want you to think about this. On the cross of Calvary, he was completely emptied of what? On the cross of Calvary, he was completely empty of his glory. In his physical body, limited, on the cross, he was emptied of his glory. He was spiritually bankrupt on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Immortality, he became poor because as a person, he became what? Mortal, which means he could have died. The cross of Calvary, what did he do? He tasted death physically and spiritually. In his poverty, he tasted death. In his richness, he would have never known death. But he physically died and he spiritually died. This is Jesus in his poverty. Would you write down, as a human, did Jesus have human needs? Can I ask you a question? Did he get tired? Did he get hungry? He had human need in his physical body. He never knew need in his divine provision. He never knew it. On the cross of Calvary, both physical and spiritual, poverty. None of his needs physically and none of his needs spiritually were met on the cross of Calvary. None. your spiritual needs aren't met, you die. In his poverty, he tasted death. Divine health, would you write down? Jesus experienced weakness in his physical body. Question? While Jesus was on earth, did he ever get sick? Yes, he did. Did he ever get cancer? Yes, he did. Did he ever have the flu and pneumonia? Yes, he did. When did he get it? On the cross. During his physical life, he had human need as a human weakness. On the cross of Calvary, the Bible said he became a what? He became a curse. Every curse was put on him. He became sick. He became diseased. He took all of that on him. In his poverty, he experienced every curse that we could ever know. Concerning divine power, can I ask you a question? Is there a Grand Canyon between divine words and human words? Is there a Grand Canyon? There's a pile of people out there speaking right now that aren't creating and aren't making planets and aren't doing divine things and aren't experiencing miracles. Why? Because human words on their own have the power of life and death, but not like divine spiritual words. On the cross of Calvary, I want you to think about this. Did you write down no words? Why was it when he was standing before Pilate, why was it when he was being tried, why did the Bible say he was silent like a lamb going to slaughter? There was not a single word came out of his mouth. Can I ask you why? If he would have spoke, what would have happened? Power would have been released. He couldn't talk. He had a poverty of words because he needed to go to the cross. He needed to experience the suffering. He needed to die. And in his poverty, there was no words coming out of his mouth. Can I just make one statement to you? Wouldn't it be amazing if someone just followed us around and all they did was write down our words? At the end of the day, they showed us and went, wow, you are an incredibly poor person by the way you talk and what comes out of your mouth. You are in poverty. Your words are death. And can you imagine if they took that, showed you at the end of the day and went, wow, you are rich. Look at what comes out of your mouth. Look at the faith. Look at the hope. Look at the Word of God. Look at the truth that comes out. Do you know that you are rich and poor by what comes out of your mouth? There are believers who are totally in poverty because nothing but death comes out of their mouth. Never forget when Kenneth Copeland said a person should put duct tape over their mouth until the Holy Spirit has the reins of their tongue. I wish I could tell you that every believer walked in richness by what they said. That is not the case. Jesus became absolutely poor. Why? Because he could not, let me say it again. If it's really true that Jesus goes, I only say what I hear my Father say and do what I see my Father do, that meant the Father told him, Jesus, when you're going to the cross, don't say anything. Don't speak. I'm giving you nothing to say in your defense, nothing to say to counter, not a single word, because there's going to be no power. You are in verbal poverty going to the cross. Here's the beautiful thing. The Bible says Jesus, being rich, became poor for our sake, so that we, being poor, might become what? Rich. I want you to think about this. We were poor. Our spiritual man was dead. Our poverty went unto Jesus, and his spiritual man on the cross died. Our broken relationship with the Father, he took that experience, that brokenness with the Father. Our sinful nature on the cross of Calvary, he took on sinful nature. And the Bible actually says he became Jesus the moment we got saved. I wish they would explain what Jesus did in his love, how he emptied himself, took all of those things out of his bank and put it over there. And the moment we get saved, he goes, because of his poverty, he gives you now his riches. Wouldn't it be amazing if someone stood there and said, I want to give you a picture of the riches of God that are going to be deposited into your life as a result of what he did on the cross of Calvary. Would you grasp this? How do we become rich? Our spirit man becomes alive. His spirit being in heaven and he died was so that you and I could have our spirit man come alive. That spiritual richness is put into our life, and his poverty made it so we could have his prosperity. It was deposited into our life. What is the next one? As a result of that, fellowship with the Father. The richness of that relationship with God, the richness of that, he goes, when you receive me in your life, that richness is deposited into your life and that relationship is restored and you are now rich. What's the next one? Would you write down, we are made holy? The richness of his holiness, the richness of his glory. Corinthians says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. We would be made as holy as God. Can I tell you, that richness is put into our life. We are wealthy if we are holy. And let me say it again. There has never been one good person go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. You know who goes to heaven? Holy people. Those who are as holy as God himself are the ones who qualify for heaven. How do we do that apart from him? What else do we get? Would you write down immortality? What did Jesus say on the cross? He who believes in me will what? Never die. Can I ask you a question? Will you and I ever die? Our physical man, some of us may die. Most of us are expecting we're going to lift off and meet him in the air. We're not talking about our physical man dying. Immortality means the moment we come to Christ, we have zozo life inside of us. Our spirit man comes alive. Though I shed my tent, who I am will live forever. You and I have already stepped into our eternity. Can I ask you a question? If you never die, are you rich? What made Christ rich is that he had immortality. He would never die. He takes that and deposits that in our life and goes, Colin, you will never die again. Let me give you another one. Would you write down riches? Both physical and spiritual. What does the Bible say? My God shall supply what? All your needs according to what? His riches, his glory, his riches, his glory. He who is rich became poor in order for us to become. Would you write down divine health? By his wounds we've been what? I'm behind on this. Here's the riches of his physical and spiritual blessing. Here is the richness of divine health. Oh no, here's the riches of his divine health. By his wounds we've been what? Healed. We've talked about this. Do we need to get sick anymore? Has our health been paid for? If we are healthy, are we rich? Here's the deal. His richness had divine health. He became poor so that we could have his what? He goes, it's yours. All of that is there. statement of all of creation, we are the only ones who have been made speaking spirits. When John Alley said, every demon is looking for a voice because it is powerless without a voice. But if that demon can find its way into a person and have access to their voice, that demon has spiritual power. Question? When we receive what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and are filled with His Spirit, and all of a sudden, God has our mouth, our tongue, and it becomes His words, let me ask you, do we walk with power? I want to show you a physical picture that I pray you will grasp. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lays down his life, empties himself in order for us to have all of his riches. Jesus, who was rich, emptied himself and became poor, taking our poverty in order for us to become. Why didn't they tell me that when I got saved? I'll tell you why. They didn't know. My spiritual leaders had no clue what it meant for Jesus to be rich and for Him, in His love, to empty Himself, to take all of my poverty and to transfer to me all of His riches. My spiritual leaders had no clue. And as a result, like you, I lived in poverty as a believer for years. What makes me rich? My spirit man is alive. And I have relationship with the Father. I am as holy as God because of Jesus, and I will never die again. I have the riches, spiritually and physically. I have divine health purchased by His wounds, and I walk in divine power because my words, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, are life. Can I ask you a question? Are there some believers who are still walking in poverty? You bet they are. Merry Christmas. Spirit man's alive. Merry Christmas. You're no longer an orphan. Merry Christmas. You're no longer a sinner. Merry Christmas. You will never die. Merry Christmas. All of your provision, physically and spiritually, has been met. Merry Christmas. You walk in divine health. And Merry Christmas, you have divine power. Anybody want to open this present? I wish I could have you grasp that. It's not my job. But the Spirit's job, who it is, it's pretty good at it. Could I have you come? Would you bow with me this morning for a moment? Father, in John chapter 3, verse 16, you recorded the words through the mouth of Jesus that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, statement and said, no greater love has one than this, that he laid down his life. Jesus, this morning, we want to say thank you. When you're in heaven, before you came and were planted inside of Mary's womb, we understand that you were rich in the truest sense of the word. And as an act of obedience in relationship with the Father, you became bankrupt. You became poor. You emptied out your account. Taking on the form of a human. And on the cross of Calvary, taking all of our poverty for one reason. So that we would know your richness, know your goodness, know your blessing, know your prosperity. Because of him, it is ours. Father, today I ask that you would release a grace over every person here and every person under the sound of my voice, that there would be an opening in our hearts and our minds to understand the demonstration of love. You went to the bank and you emptied it so that our bank would become full. For those who still live in the poverty, who have not grasped the truth of what you have done, I pray today that you would open up understanding, that you would give revelation. I pray today that you would release the power to understand how wide and high and how deep and how long is your love for us. Expressed through Jesus becoming poor, in order for us to be made rich. Father, as your children take time this week to ponder, to look at your word, to grasp what happened on Christmas, when you laid down your life before entering Mary, you laid down your life. The greatest love we will ever know. Would you release the power to grasp it? And as we do, begin to walk in the richness you paid for, our bank account becoming fuller and fuller spiritually, so that we can walk in the richness you knew. You are in heaven with the Father. Greater love has no one than this, but he laid down his life. I declare as a child of God, you, through Christ's poverty, are rich. For the glory of his name. If this morning as I have been speaking and you recognize that you are an orphan, you may have known about God, but there has never been a time when you have made a commitment to receive Christ in your life and have that relationship with the Father restored. That is the cry of your heart this morning. I just invite you to pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for demonstrating your love for me by laying down your Jesus, by Christ's poverty, I declare you rich. You stand with me this morning. Did you receive the blessing of the Lord? The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and to be gracious to you.